Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and live on video is Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare, SP Angel. You're on, Vadim.
How are you doing, Justin?
Yeah, we're not too good. Today's a really odd market. I look at indices and I'm thinking, it's not really that bad out there. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I'm feeling like it's got a feeling about it. I don't know if it was a couple of years back. This is, they are all down, the indices, but not hugely down. AIM Ultra is only down 0.12%. But do you remember, I don't know what it was, I lost track of time, but two or three years ago, I think it was, when a London listed, I think, fund manager went to the wall. And of course, they have to sort of, you know, get rid of the stocks. And it has a knock on effect there because, you know, other stocks get sold, other brokers have to sell or take on. So, and everything went red for like about two or three days. Yeah. And I'm sensing that now is a liquidity issue where no one wants to take these shares off this broker or this fund manager. And it feels like that at the moment. I own about sort of, I think, 18 stocks. I got four up, one, you know, stay and one non-mover and the rest are down. And the last few weeks, it hasn't been like that. It's been the opposite. Maybe I'm just used to the market rising now. And but it seems a liquidity issue. I don't know. Like, part of me is thinking, what is this? Is it either a fund's gone bankrupt or, I don't know if you've seen that the latest sanctions America has conducted on Russia. They basically stopped them trading the stock exchange, Moscow stock exchange, with dollars and euros and stuff. And they've imposed, I think, 1,200 financial institutions were banned, but only over to 3,000 institutions and people. So is that having a knock-on effect, the liquidity in the market? It can't be. It can't be linked to AIM, surely. So I don't know. I'm just thinking, I don't understand what the liquidity problem is. I'm looking around, and everything, especially nanocaps, are taking a hammering. Any ideas, yeah. Vadim?
It's been a bit, I agree, it's been a bit of a wobbly week, but we kind of, like you say, breaking sentiment. The sentiment was positive for a while. I don't know. I think it's maybe just a, what do they call that? A consolidation. We've had a, you know, a good run in the AIM All Share, and then, you know, the last few days are probably a consolidation. But quite frankly, like, look, there you go. There's your bull market consolidation. That's classic what happens. It reverts to the mean.
Yeah.
You know, reverts to the blue line there, which is what's the 50-day moving average?
The 50-day, pretty much. If you look at the last time he did that, it rallied strongly from, like I said, you know, from October to January, and above 200-day, came back to 50-day.
And then it bounced along the line. You see what I mean? It came under it a little bit, but you see that big descent, the one you were talking about, where it crossed the 200-day.
Yeah, this one here.
Yeah, a bit further back. The other one.
Right there.
So it's a big rally, crosses the 50-day average, crosses the 200-day average. Then that was the signal to sell, and then it bounced right there on the 50-day as before. So basically, it bounces when it comes reverts back to the 50. So we may be nearing that bounce when it touches the blue line again.
Yeah, well, to be fair, it did, you know, it's not really fallen. It's had quite a few days for coming down here. But my stock's doing well, even in this period here. And also, it's a day now that AIM is flat. There's not big falls, just more red than. And I've looked at the liquidity. This is very low volume as well. So it's not like it's almost like the market makers are doing something because there's no volume there at all. And so it's not like big selling going on. So I don't know what's going on. But anyway, by the way, a big faller is. And we discussed this previously, recently on, you know, why do companies announce fundraisers before they're doing one? And Destiny Pharma, AGM statement, let me bring it up, actually. Destiny, in the AGM, Sir Nigel Rudd, I think it was, reports annual statement. There we are. Let me just pump this up. And, you know, he did say, Sir Nigel Rudd said, XF73 has enormous market potential and can make it a huge difference, all that stuff. And they said, given our current, while licensing activities, while licensing activities continue, given our current cash runway, feedback from potential partners, and let's evaluate a range of strategic options. Our review of these options has continued since the full year results. We intend to provide an update in the coming market. So the fact that he's mentioned the cash runway, and other partners are saying you maybe need more of a cash runway. That suggests, anyway, you're telling a downturn. Look at that. It went down 30% on that announcement yesterday. And now it's down another 14% a day, 15%. So that's a big drop, isn't it, on that?
Yeah. I
mean, it's horrible.
When we were talking about this back in the day, it was like a 30p stock that went to 75, I think, roughly, right?
Yeah.
And now we're talking 30% down on a 20, so it's an 11p stock, right, or something like that.
Yeah. It's 10p. Yeah. So it's 10 pence. What's the market cap here? In fact, this was yesterday, but the market cap is now 11 million. So it's almost like this is a potential candidate, like you said before. Once a company gets a fundraiser out the way, there'll be a bit of churn for a few weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
But once, because you know, I talk about hope, high potential stocks, these blue sky stocks, they're all about story, pretty much, potential, you know. But when the funding becomes a story, that's not good. So once they get the funding, then of course you'll have a bit of churn, people selling and placing, whatever, selling quickly for a quick profit. But it'll bounce along but this could then be, you know, one to look out for because it has the potential to rally. You know, when you see that, those kind of rallies, it can do that again. But it's interesting to see now. The trouble is, at 11 million, what's, you know, how much can they raise? That's the thing, isn't it? You know,
I mean, I hate to say it. These things, a lot of these stocks are going into kind of wipeout territory. So, you know, Polarian being the ultimate example, recent complete wipeout of shareholders. Well, you know, these, as you start nearing those lows, you know, and you need cash, it just becomes a vicious downward spiral.
Unless you get, you know, special sort of, well-heeled investor who doesn't mind chucking loads of money into it, generally you're limited, aren't you, to how much you can raise. And then normally it's a percentage of those shares in issue, pretty much, or the market cap. So, you know, if you're talking about like a £10 million company, you're 10% shares, that's £1 million you can raise. I mean, maybe it raises more than that. But I mean, you are limited by the size. And I do say this up, some, I like macro caps. And I say that sub 100 million market cap. But sometimes you can get to the stage where they become, you know, suboptimal for scale. Because if they're losing money and they're so small, they can't raise enough money to get enough cash runway, you know, to get the story to flourish.
Yeah.
So it's that downward spiral, isn't it, you know?
Exactly. That's the problem when they become subscale. It just depends, you know, it all depends on the cash position of the company. I completely agree. And it's kind of what the sector is suffering from the most right now, is because it's a cash hungry sector of companies that burn cash. So you might imagine, okay, these companies, what happens is they go preclinical, you know, late stage preclinical, clinical stage, which means they start testing patients, which is then a phase 1 trial, phase 2, phase 3 trials, and then approvals and commercial stage products. All of those have significant value inflection points. So they create value along the way. The question is, how do you get from one to the other, right? That's the difficulty. So you need cash to be able to get, to create that value. And a lot of them get stuck in between, run out of cash in between. So here's a case in point right now. Another one we mentioned, Polarian, and there are many others. This is what's plaguing the sector right now, is in a down market when you can't raise capital because investment just isn't forthcoming, companies get caught out.
And like I said, it extinguishes the story. You know, the story almost ceases to be the story. The funding becomes a story.
That's right.
And you, of course, the story can't become a story until you've got the funding. So it's a catch-22, pretty much. In fact, you know what? I had an alert on about the hitting the 52-week low. I think it was yesterday. And that's again, that's even though it's, and they raise money, but that is just bumping on the bottom there. I think.
The raise was that decline there. You see what I mean?
Yes.
It went from 110 during the fundraise, and then the fundraising was announced at 50p.
Yeah. And so it's that worry going forward. I think a lot of this, of course, is maybe. I mean, I think yesterday the Fed had a meeting yesterday, and they were saying, they did say that they don't see as many interest rate reductions as people expect this year. There may be even one, and maybe even smaller than people think. So that's not helping, I suppose, because, of course, as long as the cost of capital is expensive, and people can put their money in, you know, a risk-free saving account to get, 4 or 5%. Bonds, 6%. So why would they invest in high-volatile, high-risky stocks and have the chance of it going down by 40, 50%? Yeah. Doesn't make sense. Until that sort of, you know, that until people start seeing their savings accounts giving them less and less, they're not going to be tempted into putting their money elsewhere, are they, really?
No, nope. So, we're still firmly in a risk-off environment. I mean, there was a nice little, you know, June was okay in the beginning, at the very beginning, and then, as you said, in the last week or so, it's kind of crumbled again. You know, there are little rays of hope in terms of risk returning into capital markets, but they kind of get smothered and, you know, back to square one. And a lot of it, as you say, that what smothers it is the macro, and the main macro kind of issue is the interest rates not coming down. And that's just it. That's where we are.
What are you going to talk about? What stock was it?
In terms of news flow this week, there was this morning, actually, Bivitrix. This is a company that I own.
Bivitrix, is it? I just remember that. What's the sticker there?
It's a BVX. There it is.
BVX. Okay,
BVX.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Hang on a sec. Look at that. That's starting to. It's almost like that.
It's starting
above the 200-day moving average there. It hasn't done that since.
For a long time, exactly.
No, it hasn't. I mean, do you know what? It hasn't done it since on an uptrend. I mean, it's on a downtrend. It spiked up. Why did it do that? It went up by 700% on May 2020.
No, that's a mistake. That's not what happened. That didn't happen.
Really? Wow.
What was the price? What was the price you saw there?
This is 2020 BVC. Is it?
No, it listed in 2021.
Okay. That's why then. It's obviously
no. One more down. Not Bioventic. Yeah. That one. Yeah. There you go. That one.
So. So this is what the compelling. So it must be that's the old stock share price for
whatever. Yeah, maybe that's one.
So what are they announcing?
Yeah, basically, look, I like this company. This one predominantly because of the technology.
There we are. So there's a chart there. It listed there on 11th of August, I think. That's where, or around about there, was it 2021?
That's when they listed. I don't know what the history prior to that was. I don't. It wasn't. Maybe it was just sometimes tickers are used by somebody else before. There's a possibility of that. I'll give you the share price history. Basically, they listed at 20p in 2021, which was the top of the market in biotech, and now they're about 12p. You know, and the reality is nothing really negative has happened. It's only progressed things, but the whole market's dragged them down. But comparatively speaking, they're not actually like performing as badly share price wise, as many peers who are down 95-99%. So they're down, whatever that is, 40% over a 3-year period, but starting to recover now more recently. And this is just yet another announcement. You know, they've been generating good data. It's probably worth talking about what they do.
Yeah, so, what do they do? Yeah.
So what they're, you know, everybody's heard of antibodies as therapies. What the new thing that's been more popular recently is attaching a payload to an antibody. So the antibody allows you to focus on a target with a high degree of specificity, so being very targeted towards whatever target you're aiming for. That's what antibodies brought to the picture about 30 years ago. And they're very effective. They hit cancer targets with a high degree of precision, and they take them out. What more recently we've been doing is attaching a payload to that antibody. So it hits the target, but it hits it 10,000 times, you know, millions of times harder, because you're either attaching, more often than not, you're attaching a chemotherapeutic agent. So you're able then to kill the cancer cell with precision and with a far more lethal payload. And that's what they're in the area of. They're in the area of what are known as ADCs. They're called antibody drug conjugates. Now, this field has kind of exploded over the last 5 years. There's been about 10 or 15 approvals. And now everyone is saying, if you're going to develop an antibody towards a target, a therapeutic target, you might as well attach a drug, so a payload. So ADCs are becoming the norm now for any antibody treatment. It's becoming kind of standard to make ADCs rather than just antibodies. So they're in this area. So it's a very hot area. There's multiple deals going on in the space. A lot of pharma didn't expect this field to take off so quickly and got caught off guard and needed to then buy in ADC programs, okay? So they're in the right space. What they're doing, though, is that is truly unique, and I like this the most about them, is they're targeting two antigens with their antibody. So instead of targeting one thing on a cancer cell, they're targeting two things that are cancer-specific, which makes you, what allows you to become even more specific to cancer cells. And that's essentially what they're doing. The area that they're covering for their first asset is AML, which is leukemia, basically. It's the largest leukemia condition. And then they have a second program in ovarian cancer and then multiple other assets in the pipeline. But the key the key is this ability to hit two antigens on the, say, leukemia, on the cancerous cell, right? And here, what this announcement is about is that they've done some toxicity studies, and it indeed is corroborating their story that their asset that they're developing is showing a better toxicity profile low toxicity profile, which is exactly what you want to see in your toxicity studies, which makes for their preclinical package makes the package a lot stronger. And you know, this is the result today. It's kind of heavy, you know, in terms of it's scientifically interesting, but it's also commercially. So when you read it, you know, it's kind of heavy on the science, if you like, for someone who's reading this for the first time. But as part of the story, what's important is that what they're trying to show is that their product has a good safety profile compared to existing products in the market, and this is what this science here is showing. That it's highly specific and not toxic.
Yeah. So but essentially, this is, like I said, preclinical. What that means is, you know, it's not in humans yet. Been tested in humans. Been tested in some other kind of animal, whatever it is. But they say favorably to other FDA approved ADCs. So that's good. So no toxicity. So So I assume now, what they're doing now with this, will they be taking this in the clinic then now or what?
Yeah, so I mean, this company, the ambition ultimately is to take this into phase one trials, and then ultimately, this won't happen in a day or two. This is, you know, the ambition is to get them into clinical trials, test it in patients, and then start to demonstrate efficacy in patients. Now, if they do that, because AML is such an unmet medical need, and other drugs have been approved on, you know, you don't need to go through phase one, two, three trials. You just need to show, much like another company that we've covered here, Hemogenix, also in AML, if you show any kind of efficacy signal in, you know, your first phase one trial, then you're probably going to get some form of a fast tracking to an approval. And then, you know, you can do the other trials while it's in the market. Certainly there are other drugs that have been approved on something like a couple of hundred patients. So this isn't something that has to go through, you know, 10 years of clinical testing.
Yeah, interesting. That with the charts? It's picking up. So it's come down here for, you know, it hasn't hit the 200 day, and for ages back, it's bouncing off ahead on the 200 day.
Yeah.
And now, it seems like if it closes here, it'll be above it, which is, you know, quite a bullish sign. And next, you expect the 50 day to cross up over the 200 day. Yeah. Be a golden cross. But that's a good sign. But
I think ultimately with this stock is that it's
valued. What's the market cap here? Is it 10 million?
It's 10 million. It's a 10 million market cap business. that, in my opinion, could be quickly, you know, a lot more. That's the essence. You know, unlike some of the other stocks we've talked about, like the Avactas of this world, you know, much as I like the technology, they're 150 million market cap businesses. You know, they are in clinic. It's true. They're more advanced. But, you know, that there is a big difference between 10 and 150. So you can see how a 10 million market cap business can become a 30 million market cap business, which is not a bad return.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's anything I've said before, you know, with these sort of blue sky stocks, hope high potential stocks. I mean, I think it's sub 20 million when you have a huge potential, because that means you don't have to get a commercialization. Even a re-rating on some of their trials would mean that they, you know, you double, treble, quadruple your money pretty much.
Exactly.
But I said, you mentioned Hemogenix there. What are they up to at the moment? Are they have any news out of there recently? Or
so Hemogenix, the ambition is to get into clinic. You know, they raised money, I think, in March or late February. And that was enough to get them to commence clinical trials. Now that takes time. They need to, you know, file with the clinical trial sites and get that up and running. And, you know, I think they at the time said the ambition was to, it would be good if they got something by the end of the summer, but that's quite ambitious still. So, you know, I would hope to see the next big news, the big news from Hemogenix would be first patient treated.
No, you can tell we're in this, you know, bear market where it's hard to raise funds, because I suspect in the bull market this company were rallied on some of the stuff it's released, you know, it's not happening now. People just worried about risking money, you know, they're seeing rallies not working in these obviously loss making stocks, so they're not putting money in. I mean, look at that, in one day this went up 256% at one point.
That is the story of biotech. When it's working, you know, stocks genuinely spike because they re-rate, you know, like we just said, a 10 million market cap business can become a 100 million market cap business. It's entirely possible in the biotech sector. But in this market, it's very difficult because they're not...
Exactly. It's linked to the funding, isn't it? You know, once funding becomes easier and there's more access to capital, then I think these stocks will start to rally. But, you know, that's not going to be tomorrow. Even if we start reducing interest rates in this month, it's going to be a quarter of 1%. That's not going to make a blind bit of difference, really.
So, exactly.
And like I say, unless we have really bad economic figures, you know, and inflation drops through and there's worry of deflation, I can't see central banks ratcheting down interest rates very quickly. So, you know.
No, absolutely. No, look, without question, this isn't going to be fixed in a quarter or anything like that. The one thing that does ultimately, so if you look at the immediate picture, it's a down market. If you look in the, you know, 3 month picture, it's probably going to still, you know, be bouncing around. Maybe might start breaking through. You know, we are at the, you know, into a 3 year downturn in biotech. So eventually these things turn. And the question, you know, people ask me, because, you know, this is how people feel in the depths of a down market. They say, well, why would things turn? What is it that turns things ultimately in this market? Like, what is the, yes, you can talk about a quarter point, two quarter point interest rate, you know, is that going to transform the biotech market? No, you just said so. You're absolutely correct. But fundamentally what changes these sectors and why they keep coming back and why they're so volatile and cyclical is that the upside is driven by innovation. So All of these innovation sectors, you know, I'll give you the ultimate example of a drug we all now know, which is Wegovy, you know, the weight loss drug. That, you know, Ozempic and Wegovy are the two, they've created a class of drugs now that's going to be the first $1 trillion class of drugs. So, you know, you ask yourself, well, where it's value creation of that enormous, I mean, that's enormous value creation.
Yeah.
You know, it was Novo Nordisk, a Danish company that, you know, came up with the first one, these two, and it's impacting their GDP. That's how powerful, you know, that is how big this asset class is of these drugs. So as innovation continues and as, you know, things accelerate in terms of, because there isn't just the current pace of innovation, the pace of innovation itself is accelerating, right? Mm-hmm. With AI, with all these things, drug development is accelerating. That's what drives these sectors to come back. It'll inevitably come back. It's just a question of how many more punishing months, hopefully not years, you know, we have to live through. We've done 36 so far, 36 months of downturn. You know, can we do a few more months? I think it'll have to be the case. Will it be a few more years? I doubt it. I think it'll be somewhere between those two.
Yeah, no, Novo Nordisk and Wegovy, unbelievable story, because when you think of it, you know, there's some Scandinavia, but where do they launch? So we've got a drug that's help people lose weight. Where do you want to launch? Well, you have a big population with a lot of obese people. America. And literally, they can't produce it. You know, I've the guy been asked, are you intending to, supply other markets? They said, at the moment, we can't. He's like, we are. It's like having a product you can't produce enough of. It'll cure on the block nonstop, 24 hours a day. They want this drug to lose weight the easy way, pretty much. And let's be honest, how many people in the world would say no to this drug? It helps you lose weight.
That's just the beginning. They're saying these are a real miracle class of drugs, because it's not just weight. It's weight loss initially, and that's big enough.
Secondary. But
the secondary impacts are cardiovascular disease reductions and major reductions in, type 2 diabetes. And now
replacements, all that stuff. I know.
And now cancer. Now they're saying the ASCO, which is the American Society of Clinical Oncology, the meeting. It's a once a year mega conference in Chicago. It's the biggest oncology conference in the world. And there was a data presented that came out of that conference on these drugs, on Ozempic and Wegovy, that showed a 20% reduction on whatever it is, the top 10. Cancer killers. So, again, these weight loss drugs
impacting everything. It's
exactly.
Nuts, isn't it?
But, a lot of that is just weight reduction, right? Because obesity is linked to various cancers and also to cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. So you can't necessarily untangle it that simply. And, we don't know for sure if it isn't just a weight reduction. It might be more, but surely without, there is this class of drugs is transforming. But back to my first point, which is it's drugs like this, it's innovation like this that drives the sector ultimately. So that's why the sector comes back. It always ends up coming back, because innovation eventually kicks in and people see the sheer value creation of these solutions.
Yeah. It's an amazing story. I've heard some reports of people who've been on these drugs and initially think, oh, brilliant, eat what we want. It's not that, is it? People take them. They lose their appetite completely. And when they eat something, it tastes like cardboard, whatever. It's just not an appetite. I heard this lady who's like, she's got a family of like five. She said, I don't even feel like cooking for the family. Well, the food I don't like it. So it's like, so she's almost enjoying food and having this pill afterwards. You just don't eat, And so even that, there was one point, the story saying it's going to affect food sales. And all that said, because if lots of people are on it, they're just going to buy less food. And it's amazing. Marvelous stuff. Thanks for that, Vadim. And we'll speak to you next week.
Excellent. Thanks, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.